This is Lisa Reichert reading for Alice Anonymous. The bell over the door tinkled. A blast of unseasonably warm air, a wave of uber-expensive men's cologne, and Mankton General Store's most notorious patron entered. My eyes remained glued to the GED study guide open on the counter in front of me. No point in looking up. He was the only customer who wore Clive Christian, C for men. My best friend, roommate, and manager, Elsie Irving, nudged me hard in the ribs. When I didn't respond to her not-so-subtle hint, she gave the textbook one hard shove and whisper-shouted my name. Alice! Using my cat-like reflexes, as Elsie liked to call them, I snatched the book with my fingertips before it went over the edge. What? I hissed. Elsie indiscreetly gestured to our new customer with her dark gaze. I rolled my own hazel eyes skyward. Henry Havelock Hensley III, Trey, to those he deigned to call friends, and the media, who thought they were on a nickname basis with the heir to the world's largest private security company, was not someone I cared to associate with, even if only to help him find the instant macaroni and cheese he came here every other day to purchase. Triple H, the moniker bestowed upon the golden boy by the general store's owner, Chuck, something about a WWE wrestler he'd been obsessed with once upon a time, attended the elite Mansfield Preparatory Academy in rural Mankton, Maryland. Shortly after the start of fall term, Triple H had decided that the school's cafeteria cuisine didn't match up with his juvenile palate. So the boy wonder had started coming to our fine establishment to buy microwavable meals and copious caffeinated products for his dorm room. Now he was a staple, a nearly constant fixture, not unlike the mold that grew in Chuck's office. And much like that mold, Triple H was impossible to keep out, no matter how unpleasant I made his visits.
"It's him, Alice. Go ask if he needs help," Elsie whispered in my ear.
"I know who it is. I can smell him from here. And he doesn't need my help," I shot back, returning my attention to the study guide.
"Come on, he's hot,"
Elsie insisted, trying to pry the book from my vice-like grip a second time.
"And he likes you. I see the little grin he has on his face whenever you're working."
"Please, he gives that grin to everyone, even Chuck. Now, if you'll kindly take your hand off my book, I can get back to things that really matter." While technically my boss, Elsie was only 3 years older than me, just shy of her 21st birthday. We'd become insta-friends, as Elsie liked to say, the year before when Chuck had hired me as a part-time sales clerk. "You go talk to him," I growled, giving the book a hard yank that was followed by the sound of tearing paper. The page on equilateral triangles flapped freely in Elsie's long fingers.
"Sorry,"
she said, the apology just short of sarcastic.
"I'm busy," I told her, grabbing the torn page and trying to smooth the creases. "You obviously have nothing better to do. You go help him find his fake cheese." Not that I had anything against instant mac and cheese. It was one of my favorite foods. What bothered me was the way Elsie fawned all over the conceited twit when he clearly lapped up the attention. It was a wonder the guy's ego fit through the front door. Also, this conversation was a rerun, possibly even verging on syndication status. The scenario always played out exactly as it had the time before, with Elsie pretending that she wasn't dying for the chance to talk to Triple H herself, and me refusing to become an extra in the movie of his life. Once I put my foot down, Elsie would go over and ask Triple H, "Is there something I can help you find?" To which he'd reply,
"Mac and cheese, and a 12-pack of the mini Dr. Peppers."
Next, my best friend would giggle, despite the fact there was absolutely nothing funny about either powdered cheese or soda, as she showed the teenage dream to the appropriate aisles. Then Triple H would gush that he was so appreciative of her help and that the staff at the general store was so sweet. Gag.
On special occasions, Triple H would even touch her arm or her shoulder as he thanked her profusely. Physical contact, even accidental, always caused Elsie to melt like a snowman in springtime. Oftentimes, the Elsie puddle couldn't move for at least 10 minutes after he departed. It was embarrassing to watch. Today, however, my best friend wasn't interested in her daily fix of man candy. She shook her head vehemently, long black braids smacking the sides of her face with each shake. "Too young," she mouthed, and not my type. "Right," I thought dryly. I rolled my eyes. This, too, was an overplayed conversation. "He's 17, like me," I reminded her. "Exactly." Propping her hands on her hips, Elsie donned her serious face. "And I'm 45 days from the legal drinking age, which makes him way too young for me. But," her lips curved into a devilish smile, "perfect for you." Since I'd first met Elsie, she'd been referring to her age with respect to her 21st birthday. For some reason, she seemed to think that her life would miraculously change when the special day finally arrived. Like she'd wake up and come into a trust fund that no one had ever told her about. Or some long-lost relative would show up and tell her she was really a princess. Or the parents who'd long since abandoned her would materialize with some explanation that would make up for 21 years of neglect. I'd only known Elsie for a little over a year, but I had a feeling this wasn't the first age she'd associated with one of these miracles coming true. I hated that in 45 days she would once again be disappointed. "I have no interest in Triple H," I retorted. "Live a little, Allie. Bask in his attention while you can. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a fairy tale ending?" "Yeah, no thanks. This prince is a D-bag." Elsie literally put her foot down. "He's a customer. As your boss, I order you to go assist him." And there it is, I thought. Elsie's trump card, the manager. Better than an ace of spades, and so rarely used. I sighed and glanced over to where Triple H and his 3 bodyguards, that's right, 3, were examining a shelf of SpaghettiOs. "Yes, we at the Mankton General Store serve only the finest cuisine." "He looks like he's doing just fine on his own," I told Elsie. "Besides, he has the goon squad to fetch stuff. I'm sure one of the 3 of them can recommend the best brand of canned pasta, if he's looking to branch out."
"Go!"
With that, Elsie shoved me hard enough that I stumbled. While I was busy regaining my balance, she snatched the GED study guide and, like the mature adult that she was, hid it behind her back. Smoothing my 3 wears past crisp, white button-down and green apron that said, "Mankton General Store, we're here to help," in gold stitching, I walked over to where Triple H and his posse stood staring at canned ravioli and microwavable soup labels, as if they held the meaning of life. I tried to be objective as I drank in his appearance. Dark gold waves framed his face, piercing blue eyes that always seemed to sparkle, a nose that had been broken at least once. Probably some jealous boyfriend, I thought with a grin. According to the tabloid sites, Triple H had quite the penchant for taken women. "Hey," Triple H said as I approached. "You're looking for instant mac and cheese?" I asked in a bored tone.
"Yeah, I love that stuff," he replied sheepishly.
"You're 1 aisle off, aisle 3, I told him, pointing to the right. Seriously, after 3 months, he should really know that, I thought.
"Thanks,"
Triple H smiled, revealing the straightest, whitest teeth I'd ever seen on a real person. Well, if celebrities counted as real people. Do celebrities count as real people? I wondered.
"The cafeteria food at Mansfield leaves something to be desired," he continued, as if he needed to explain why he was food shopping for himself, like a commoner.
"I'll bet," I said, because really, what was I supposed to say? Chuck would kill me if I were rude. The only claim to fame that our lowly general store had was that Henry Havelock Hensley III shopped there regularly. our foot traffic had increased tenfold since October, when a paparazzo had snapped a photo of him loading his SUV with cases of soda. I had actually been holding one of those cases at the time. But being no one important, I'd been cropped out of the final picture. A blessing, as far as I was concerned.